Průmysl prochází procesem transformace, ve kterém není vždy snadné se zorientovat. Výroba nové generace má být automatizovaná, robotizovaná a hlavně digitální. Jak zachovat konkurenceschopnost českého průmyslu? Na to se snaží najít odpověď Lukáš Smelík a jeho hosté. Dámy a pánové, posloucháte Vše o průmyslu, podcast pro moderní výrobu.
Dear listeners and viewers, I have to start with an apology, especially if you are one of the faithful and now you are wondering where the check was lost. And for now, we will be speaking only in English. But it is so. Today, it will not be Vše o průmyslu. Today, you are a witness of the first All About the Industry episode. You will definitely forgive me because I simply wanted to have my guest today, Guillermo Alda, in the studio. Welcome, Guillermo.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We joked a little that he could adapt and speak Czech. He had a logical remark that I could try it in Spanish. In the end, I did differently and decided to have third guest sitting here with us. So I also welcome Jan Burian from IDC, and he is more better in English and he will help me a lot today.
Also, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And maybe I forgot to mention company which Guillermo represents, but on purpose. The company Good AI Solutions probably suggests a lot about the topic today. But let's start in general about AI. I can describe AI like a science fiction movie fan. It's something what will destroy us faster than COVID. But at the production level, we are talking more about machine learning, and I would like to know how you can describe AI when we are talking about the production. Maybe Honza can start.
Okay, thank you. I mean, first let's say that, I mean, AI has been here with us for some time already, I would say a couple of years at least, right? Even during my consulting career, I saw a number of use cases across different manufacturing organizations. So this is definitely nothing that much new. And I'm also always looking on AI from, let's say, two angles, right? That's the first one is more something we can call it like, it's like embedded, right? Or cognitive AI. So this is something you can really see, right? So you won't see, or you're not able probably to test the, or to see the results immediately, right? Like if you, for example, if you have, there's like some complicated planning exercises, right? So you can have a person who's able to do that in a, I would say, classic planning tool, right? And then with the let's say the basic algorithms, and then of course you have something like a, with embedded AI engine, and it's very hard to say. I mean to compare the results, right? So it's something, and this is really, I mean, in manufacturing, the people are very used to see some like something being like very tangible. So that's kind of tricky, right? To show them that it works, but they don't really know. I mean, to what level it works, right? So that's the one perspective, right? So embedded AI engines, which are helping to process very complicated exercises, right? On the other hand, there's a something more based on a machine learning, right? And these are typically use cases of image recognitions, right? So you can use it in quality control, in a maintenance area, or in a, you can recognize the images of a, for example, it could be a car on production line, right? So I'm sure that Guillermo would reveal more of these examples from his experience, right? So if I could summarize it, it's really like a cognitive, something which is really helping you somewhere hidden undercover, right? And you see just the results. And then this is the like a machine learning based models. So you could see the, I would say, the outputs immediately, right? So you can see if the, for example, product or something which you are observing or which you are testing, if it's okay or not okay, right? Then you are able to compare the reality with the output from the AI engine, right? So that's that. I would say that's my very, let's say, basic perspective on how AI works and what AI represents in manufacturing environment.
Okay, maybe Guillermo, can you confirm this? What was be talking about? And maybe I am asking also if artificial intelligence is already widespread in manufacturing or we are on the start.
I think, first of all, yes, I agree with Jan's conception of AI. For us, artificial intelligence is computers learning from the data. So they have intelligent behavior because they learn patterns from the data and they learn how to either classify or predict outcomes. And it's mainly machine learning, what is being used in manufacturing. And actually, to this phrase that you said, if that AI can destroy us and faster than COVID, actually AI can help us support and overcome COVID. Because of all the disruptions and all the problems that we are having right now, especially in manufacturing, it can be a great tool for automating processes and for helping companies to overcome these challenges in COVID. And AI in manufacturing, it's really at the start, but it's been already, I would say, 5 years. If you look at how things were 5 years ago, there were many proof of concepts being implemented, many use cases being discovered, and there was this big hype of and discovering that machine learning models were outperforming humans, were outperforming traditional methods. And now, after 5 years, it's not a matter of if it can perform. Now it's just a matter of how you can use it at scale, how you can do way more things because it's already proven that it can help at very, very different levels in manufacturing. We focused on visual inspection, helping detect defects and imperfections in products, and in also processing data to detect anomalies in some process, any given process. You can also use, you were referring to cognitive signals. With AI, you can essentially use any input from manufacturing. It can be vibration, it can be temperature, it can be sounds, it can be numerical data, it can be images. Put it on the method. It can be statistical methods, it can be more like deep learning, that using convolutional neural networks, and it just learns. And this is the let's say the magic, the beauty of it, and why it's can be so helpful. And then there are many different categories. And for example, good AI, we are good AI solutions, but good AI, we also have a research team that they're focusing on the artificial general intelligence. So they're really trying to come up with an architecture that will mimic human level intelligence. And those they're working on agents that learn automatically how to solve new problems, and eventually it will get bigger and bigger. And this is when we get into this scenario of what could happen if AI would overpass humans. But good AI solutions, we're focused on narrow AI, specific business applications of specific models that solve one particular task.
May I ask maybe one thing? Because you said that, you know, like we're focusing on a let's say like a narrow areas, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
With that potential of AI application. And what about that? Like that difference of because there could be another dimension. Another dimension could be like to have something like off the shelf, like a plug and play solution. Maybe like I'm sure you're gonna talk about the cube, right, in a couple of minutes. So like that, or of course you can be adjusting or developing very customized model for the company. And of course there's probably the sort of difference when it comes to ROI, right, like return on investment, right. So what's your perspective on this?
There are actually more and more solutions that are pre-trained models. And you know, in artificial intelligence, you need to train a model. So you need a lot of data, train and learn from it and retrain it. And that takes a lot of, a huge amount of data, a huge amount of processing power, and a huge amount of resources. The reason why artificial intelligence has being so popular and has evolved so and is evolving so fast the last years is because of three points. Because there's a huge amount of data from the rise of internet and mobile phones, everybody taking photos. All these photos that we take help models to be trained and be better, more accurate. The second is the computing power. Obviously, we have, the phone is, my phone in my pocket is way more powerful than the laptop I had five years ago. And the third is the money invested in research and development. So because of this process being done during the last 5 years, now we actually have solutions that are off the shelf and they're pre-trained models. For example, a security camera on a manufacturing is a pre-trained model, and you can immediately detect if people are, I don't know, wearing a handgun or they wear a mask. This is pretty much off the shelf. So there are many applications that are off the shelf, but there's, in our experience, there's always a big degree of customization. You really need to prepare the data and customize the model. And then it's the question if it's how off the shelf you can use it. If you can reuse previous parts of the code, or you have to really start from scratch and do it. And in terms of ROI, we have very, very strong arguments why artificial intelligence is not only profitable, but it's a must-have if you want to survive and succeed. But maybe that's for further questions.
Right. We just started, and I think AI can be a really practical tool. But my feeling when I'm listening something about AI is that we stick a little on academic level. All discussion is on academic level, development, and we are saying that in Czech Republic will be something like promised land for AI. It's possible that Czech Republic will be a leading country for AI, and can industry benefit from it, that development is really strong and it's government support to have this AI status in the world, that we are good at it?
Well, from my perspective, I think there are very good ingredients and very good things in place that would make us be optimistic in that. But it doesn't mean that we are there yet. And there's definitely way more support needed, way more from the government. So the good part, there's many good universities. The talent is really good compared to many other countries. There are a government supporting it, which is, I think that should be, there's room for improvement there. There are many startups popping up and really putting their not only money, time, effort, and risking their careers investing in these applications. More and more are coming. There are big enterprises also investing a lot of money in it. And on the user side, we see that it's definitely growing, and it's a process that it's starting, but slowly but surely.
Maybe if I may add something to that, I would say that, I mean, I'm observing, I mean, Guillermo's good AI for years, right? And looking at how they try to tackle the market. And I would say that ambition, I mean, the ambition of being, let's say, the AI, not a superpower, but maybe power in Europe. I mean, why not? It's realistic, right? But the thing is, I mean, to be able to develop this type of technology, you need also be to able to sell it to someone, right? And this is where I think there's a big gap, right? Because we have like a lot of talented people, of talented startups or companies, whatever. But then it's very hard to, you know, to find the end user organization which is willing you or letting you to test that solution in their environment. And especially, I would say, I mean, if we could talk about the AI, so I would say, okay, good, healthcare area, e-commerce, logistics, that's where it's very hard. Manufacturing in Czech Republic, no way. I would say if you establish the company which is developing the AI models or whatever only for manufacturing environment, I would say that you will be dead in, I don't know, 1 or 2 years, right? So that's a sad reality. So the Czech manufacturers, they don't, I mean, except of, I don't know, like maybe five companies I could find in Czech Republic which are really helping companies like Guillermo's to develop something and build something new, then the rest are very conservative and they don't even accept that for that they will be even like a willing to test something on their line, even for free, right? So that's I mean, I see this like a big issue and big obstacle for the next or the wider adoption or wider improvement of these startups.
Yeah, I agree that we're building a tool that is very powerful, and then you need to use it in business for competitive advantage. If other foreign investment comes, build the competence center here, the R&D center here, and they implement the value of that tool somewhere else, then it's like, you know, the competitive advantage is leaving the country, and that will be solved by like Honza said, having the Czech companies implementing these technologies and benefiting from the benefits from it.
Yeah, it's something what I wanted to talk about next, because I was searching for some real application in Czech Republic and I found only one company, no name automotive industry company in Czech Republic, which is actually doing something in the artificial intelligence. So maybe let it in theory, what is application which can be solved by artificial intelligence in industry? Maybe it's Guillermo, your turn. It was said it's necessary to sell something, sell us the artificial intelligence to manufacturing, what you can solve.
Well, in the manufacturing, we can definitely solve problems in the at the manufacturing shop floor. In the visual inspection, so improving quality control, it's possible, and it's something that we can help with. We've recently developed the Cube, which is a product to detect defects and imperfections in surfaces in products, and by it outperforms humans and it outperforms current smart camera technologies. And we are in a very sweet spot of also from an economical point of view, below very complex systems that needed a huge amount of investment. Now we can solve similar problems by way less investment needed. The problem in visual inspection usually is measured in terms of, coming back to the return of investment. So in visual inspection, it's usually measured in savings in people, but we definitely don't like that measure. And for us, you can do way more with the same people that you have. So, and this is really related to some other problems and misconceptions about AI, that it will steal our jobs. And it's a good moment to give our position on that, because AI is really a tool to make people do way more with the current. So, for example, in the visual inspection example, like, nobody likes to be 8 hours. Humans, we're not born to be in a factory watching 8 hours product after product. We will make mistakes. We will quit the job as soon as we can. It's just and it means that the production managers have a big problem with staffing, and quality is difficult to control, because many products are sent out there with defects, and the obvious problems are rework, complaints or penalty fees and scrap, but also on the people side, what is the cost of having to re-staff? People are getting unfortunately sick all the time now. Productions are disrupted. So this is a tool to not only help on the increased quality, but help on the normal operation of the company. So the Cube. It's a solution we used on the technical side. We used deep learning algorithms to detect if parts, products are okay or are conformed, okay or not okay. And then it can be used as a manual station, or you can also be integrated in the production line.
Okay, and you mentioned the Cube, and interesting thing about this product is it's developed during the crisis. During last year, It was necessary to let companies have this problem a lot, to develop something what you know or maybe more time than the customer, that is the tool what they needed. And right now they finally see it. So can we say that this crisis helped you develop products which is actually dealing with the problem which was before the COVID?
If you asked me 1 year ago, I would say no. But now with a bit of hindsight, I think yes, because it really forced us to come up with solutions that, as you said, the users wanted. And the Cube has been developed together with our client, United Polymers. They are helping us a lot, and we've really developed it hand by hand with them. And now we finally, now it's up to us to fulfill, of course, the order. And there are more clients that we believe we are about to sign, so we're very excited. We're going to have a very, very busy year, but of course it will be challenging, because a big problem we usually face with AI is the customer expectations, and this is, we have to be managed very carefully. When a client like we used to develop the Cube is understandable and knows the limits on the technology and let us work and help them, it's fine. When we get to the position situation that a client thinks it will just press a button and everything will work amazing and it will detect absolutely all defects, that's the technology is not there. So we always have to manage clients' expectations and make them see that if they solve 80% of the problem, the huge impact on their production line that it can have. So it's something that we always have to work with it.
Okay, maybe it's one thing what is Honza Burian saying a lot, that Czech companies is not going to see application abroad, that we are sticking in Czech market and looking what my neighbor is doing, and there is a lot of inspirations abroad. And what do you think in the case of artificial intelligence? Is some interesting project in different countries to see, and is still true that we are not seeing more than the our neighbor? It's better now. I hope so.
I would say, I mean, you know, you can also always can look at the pandemic as a really like the engine of maybe not of growth but of opportunities and accelerator of the changes, right? Especially when it comes to digital transformation. So that's obvious, that's clear, and this is what our clients and also the end users and using companies are claiming. So that's fine. When it comes to the, I mean, we saw, or you know, we have like many interactions with the end users and with the vendor with the vendors who are providing this type of solutions, and there's number of interesting use cases, or even like you can find like a lot of case studies. The truth is that, I mean, how broad or how deep these go, and I mean what kind of value they really are, what kind of value they are really getting from such a technology, right? So because the scalability is I would say like a cornerstone here or the holy grail of this like a disruptive technologies, right? So if you're able to scale, then you're fine, right? So if you have like a one use case, two use cases, that's good, but it's probably, I mean, the ROI would be like maybe a couple of years, so beyond the target the companies are setting, right? Maybe one more point to this discussion is also that I can see that, especially in Czech companies, right? We are making this podcast in English, so hopefully the ambition is that also the Western European companies or outside Czech or people outside Czech would listen to that. But what I can see here is the missing layer or missing responsibility for such a, let's say, digital solutions, right? Like a CDO, typically, like a chief digital officer. This is not a position. I mean, you probably won't find any, by definition, such a position in Czech company. Maybe in some of them, but very few. And this is a problem, right? Because if you would like to, if we want to sell something like a cube or the other artificial intelligence based solutions, then who are you dealing with, right? So it's a, see, I mean, it's a plant manager, then it's a maybe production director, and then maybe other IT director, right? And these three people, they don't have a clue what this is about, right? They saw something, maybe read something in magazines you're publishing, gosh, right? So maybe these are helping to educate the market a little bit, but not enough, right? These are not definitely the right people to discuss with Guillermo and his team. I mean, the impact or even like the technical details, right? Because again, so Guillermo said that the expectations on the side of the managers and manufacturers, they are just unrealistic. They just don't understand the technology, right? They're totally ignorant, to say, right? So that's the situation it is, and they definitely need to create such a position so to have someone who's be really, like whose role would be to look for and adopt such a really like a breaking through disruptive technology, and also to translate, I mean, the vendor language into the language of their own, right? So what the benefits really are going to be, right? Like,
yeah, this is what I wanted to ask you. Who is the people or person in the industry who you need to speak with? And I think it's a huge problem that there is no something like specialist and in AI in the companies, maybe a few in the biggest one. But I think it's the reason why we are talking about AI in industry in this podcast, because a lot of people don't know what to expect from this technology, and you can sell the benefits and save the money from these tools and something like this. But you need someone like a specialist in AI to maybe be more widespread in industry, or you can talk right now with somebody because you can sell this advantage which AI giving them.
So typically it's the production manager, and also obviously quality control falls under production management. Reality is that the people we're speaking with is are company heroes. It's people who really take their own to innovate and to push the company forward. And they take that challenge and they overcome it along the way. That can be the, if it's a smaller company, like it can be the owner, or it can be a production manager who is really, it's really on a personality level. And I think it should be changed, and it should be, as you said, it should be like, AI is not a feature. AI is not something that you add a button in a certain program, you press, and that's it, you have AI. No, AI, it's almost like a culture. You have to make an almost like a language. You have to make everybody in the company, cross teams, be and understand at different levels, but at least the basics, how AI works and why it's good. And when they are AI fluent, like I am now English fluent, if people in the companies are AI fluent, everything will be faster, cheaper, and better. So our counter part right now is usually head of production. But it's all about data. So as you say, we need people to speak and to know how the data is collected, in which shape it is, where it is, because this is when we start a project, regardless the if it's the cube or in predictive maintenance or another, always the first task is data assessment. And this could be totally scraped. We could start with all that process already. If the companies would have it, we would start faster and we would have results better. But usually it takes some time to assess what's the quality of the data, how it's being collected, and but it's a process, and I think it's getting better, definitely. And you know, we always say that it's not if AI will help, it's when. So they should really start as soon as possible, and this is why our approach is always to guide them from beginning. And there's a lot of education to be done, and we do it very gladly and on a daily basis. So it's there's a lot of educational part in our daily jobs.
And maybe how we can help with this education, because I know in Finland it's quite different. I know the national program of the education in AI, because they know that engineering needs this knowledge to have a better competitive country strategy in industry. And I think nothing happening in Czech Republic on this level, because we are just saying that we are promised land in AI, but the strategy of education, it's only on your as a vendor to teach the market, or how we can help maybe. For my perspective, I am trying to speak in English right now with you as an expert. I'm terrible at it, but I'm trying to teach someone something. And is anything what we can do to teach people be fluent in AI?
Many, many, many things could be done. And from, of course, from, I think from government support level, it would be very helpful for a small and medium enterprise, for SMEs. That would definitely have an impact on the overall level and competitive advantage of the industry. In terms of paid workshops, educational programs, you know, exactly how to do it, I think it's a matter of showing them what it is, how it works, and most important, the benefits, because we're all running a business, and what you want is to make your business better, and if it's savings or sell more, and really sell on the benefits. I'm not a data scientist, I'm a business guy, and I'm always sold on the business benefits on AI. So this is what's driving me. And so it means on the C level and executive level, the owners, the managers of the company should be aware why are the benefits. And then at the technical level, all those employees and different level of management should know the way they are doing things now, how are they also being done using AI, because there's not a single process in manufacturing that AI cannot be used right now. I really cannot think of any. And also, we need to think about that with all these employees, at the management level, they're thinking how to leverage from that. And I think it's a very, very important message that AI can help turning all these teams from liability to an asset. All the knowledge that all those expert employees have can be transmitted or incorporated into algorithms, and it will help the company. So all these expert technicians that know very well their machines, they know very well how things work, all that know-how can be impregnated in the data process, into the models in the company, and that's really turning all the know-how into a company asset. And so if we manage to make people and businesses know what can be done, then they will succeed. And there are many, many ways.
Maybe it leads us to another interesting application in machine learning on the maintenance level. Because we are talking a lot with maintenance departments that the huge problem is aging of the most experienced one. And you just said it's the one key benefit from AI, because this aging part is true and real, and only AI can help the lack of new maintenance people, because no one wants to have career in maintenance anymore, because it's not so great and sexy as influencer and this video podcaster. So maintenance is missing these people. So the answer is, if you are missing good experience maintenance guys, use AI. It's true.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're not getting any younger. And this is a good example how AI can augment people. Like it's not going to take the jobs. It's the opposite. You're augmenting the jobs of people. For example, the example I used of these senior technicians that know these machines up and down, and training new new young employees, it's not easy, and this for sure can help on a training level. And I think it's way more important to be able to diagnose the operational assets way better and optimize maintenance and so you would use the know-how of those. They're not like liabilities, older employees that I don't know what to do with them. No, they're like key assets of the company, and their know-how needs to be an integral part of the company.
And we was talking about necessary to educate and have higher competence in the people, for the people in manufacturing. Can you see from IDC perspective that there is a need from the managers to find some way how to educate the people? Because you talk a lot with the people, you have some white papers about AI, for example, I think. And can you see the need of Czech manufacturers or manufacturers in Europe to find a way how to educate people in AI, or it's just our needs and our perspective that it's necessary to do, or you can see that actually it's happening and managers wanted to have these people. It's true or not?
Maybe I would look at that from a little bit different perspective. Like, it's another question of, if this is needed, right? Education, but that's just a must. But the thing is, we talk with a lot of manufacturing organization representatives in US or in Western Europe. And almost like every, on enterprise level is probably, I would say, like almost like everywhere, right? SMEs almost, yeah, as well, right? So they try to establish the units, organization units in their organizations, which are really, they don't call it like a AI unit or something like that, right? So they are more like a data analysts, data engineers, right? So it's a group of the data, like really engineers, scientists, analysts, and they are looking for the use cases across the whole enterprise, right? And they work on that. They identify the right use case. They have that ecosystem of the companies like Good AI, the others, right? So that's because it's not just about having the people being able to, let's say, to work in that environment, right? To work with the data, but it's also about establishing a ecosystem of the companies around it, right? Because everything is being developing so fast, right? The changing so fast. If you're like an employee in an organization, like after 2-3 years, your knowledge would be on 30% on what it is now, right? Because the market is going like reality is going much faster forward. So you need that ecosystem, right? Of these companies. So this is how they educate themselves. So I would say, of course, there's a need of education of the C-suite or the middle management, but the thing is, how realistic is that, right, in that larger scale? So again, establishing these such units which are supporting or which are really dealing, handling this data science, leveraging the data, because it doesn't really have to be only like with the use of AI, but also for the other purposes, then that's absolute must, and this is the way, and this is at least what we see like Western Europe, US.
Right now we are going to the end, and I would like to mention three myths about AI, and for you is answer me if it's correct or it's just the myth. First one is it's too expensive. The second one is we need specialists to do something like this. And the third one is we are not ready yet, we will wait. It's time for wait, it's too expensive, and do we need this specialist to start? I'm asking you to demit this myth for me.
Okay, so for the first one, if it's too expensive, no. And actually, it's not a cost. It's an investment, and it will result into a much more profitable company. And ready to compete in the today's market. And I would actually, I don't want to be too doom about it, but I would say it's the only way to go forward, because the current technologies have reached a plateau. There's no way to reach any competitive advantage, only is micro gains. And the only way to really gain sensitive and substantial gains is through the use of new technologies, and AI is one of them. So it's not definitely not expensive. It's an investment that needs to be carefully addressed, and we can help with that, and we can show the return of investment and why. And it can be not only on CapEx, but it can be also put on operational expenses. So it's really a matter of playing with numbers. But the mindset needs to be investment, not cost. Second, if you need a specialist, you need a change of culture. You need people to be AI fluent in the company, and that is a must. It's not a requirement to get started, but it's a requirement to do it along the way. Because it will also save you a lot of money. And what was the third?
The third, we are not ready yet, so we can we can wait.
5 years ago, maybe we were dealing with this proof of concept will work or not, but now we're more than ready, and we're late.
And I hope you are ready to start with AI, and I hope we help a little with Guillermo Alda from Good AI Solutions on mic today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And I really appreciate help from Jan Burian from IDC, because I need that support today. So really appreciate you are here with me.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
So hope you enjoy it. You enjoyed the first English podcast all about industry. Maybe we can do it once more, but I have to think about it a lot. But for today, I am really glad we had this, because it was great talking about AI in industry. And I hope we will be more talking about AI in industry in practice, because we need the practical solution and practical examples to make sure that it's the future, and it is. Thank you a lot.
Vše o průmyslu? To není jen podcast, ale také zpravodajský portál pro moderní výrobu. Sledujte všechny epizody a další novinky, trendy či reportáže na adrese všeoprůmyslu.cz.